Radio.
Oh, yeah. Was that weekend any good at all? What's cracking? Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to... Wait, Rit. Holy crap, Rit. Let me tell you about today. Exactly. Thank you, Alvin. Let me tell you about today. This is how intense the mornings are around here. I can't lie to you. I had not seen the old guy. You might wonder how that can be. All right, let me get this out of the way. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Welcome. Nice to have you here. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there is your layout for the interviews. Now, yes, I know you may find this hard to believe, but in reality, it really shouldn't be. I'm getting my first look at the old man of the morning. Now, I roll in here prior to 6 a.m. It is 9 a.m. So you might wonder, how is it that you have not seen one of your key guys the entire morning prior to the program? Point number one, not one of my key guys. Just because he's paid does not mean he's a key guy or a key man. That should tell you how important Rit is to me. I literally have physically not seen him until I came on the air. I look through the glass and what do I see? An old man in Panthers gear. Wow, Rit. It's not lit. Not fanboy, but fan grandpa. This is incredible. Come on, Rit. An even worse look than you riding up front, running that board in a tie, and killing off Tom Hanks. I have seen everything.
Tom Hanks.
I don't like surprises, especially that one. Sit your ass down, Rit. He's standing up there with his gear on. Oh, man. Because that was such a big win. Absolutely incredible. All right. I did not know that was coming. 1-800-636-8686. Let me tell you, nothing will kill a mood as quickly as that old man. I mean, did I not come out here and say, how the hell was that weekend? And I literally look up and there he is. I had no idea. I had no idea. Wow. All right, so your telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Man, play the hand you're dealt. And I've been dealt a pair of twos. You can also hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. All right, so the interviews, man, when you fall off the path, you got to get right back on. So that's what I'm going to do. I've got, hey, Alvin, next time maybe you want to give me a heads up. Like, hey, dude, have you seen the old man? You see what he's wearing today? I've got Aqib Talib coming up at 9:40. Looking forward to that. Aqib Talib, Fox Sports NFL analyst, 5-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, and that's coming up in about 40 minutes. Top of hour number two, a cornerback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are coming off a big performance. Cam Sutton, head football coach at Arkansas. Sam Pittman at 10:40. Third hour is wide open. Wow. All right, let's get right at it. NFL Roundup. You know how we do this thing. On Mondays during NFL season, and we are now into NFL season, I round this thing up. The first Sunday of the NFL season is in the books. And holy crap, that was some kind of heater. I'm feeling it. And when I'm feeling it, I feel like channeling my inner butter knife. I feel like just spitting names. Chandler Jones! Matthew Stafford, Jamar Chase, Jameis Winston, react to me. Because I'm telling you, some dudes showed up and they absolutely dominated. And then there were guys and teams that showed up and they puked all over themselves. No names mentioned, the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers. But why don't we start this Monday? The Monday whip around of the first or the first whip around of the regular season by talking about Chandler Jones. My man Chandler Jones, as much love as he's getting for yesterday's performance against the Titans, it is still not nearly enough. he put on an absolute show. That was a statement of force and domination. Suckers were getting abused and ragdolled. Alvin, roll it.
Jeff Swain was in motion for the Titans. Off the play fake, Tannehill is hit. The ball is loose. It's loose on the six. It's picked up at the five into the end zone. Touchdown, Arizona. Ryan Tannehill is adjusting the play. Off the play fake to Henry. Pressure's coming. He's hit, and he is spun down from the 33-yard line for Tennessee. The pressure's coming. Jones has got him again from the backside. Number three for Chandler Jones. Tannehill pressure from behind, lost the football. It's spinning around at the 33-yard line. It was Jones again that came from the backside and knocked the ball loose. It's fourth down, Tannehill, and he's wrapped up and taken down from behind.
Guess who?
Chandler Jones again. That is number five for Chandler Jones.
Yeah, that took a while, right? Because not one, not two, not three, not four, five sacks.
Not five.
Five sacks. That's a really good season for most guys. Five sacks. So embarrassing for the Titans that Taylor Lewan tweeted, quote, "Got my ass kicked today. No way around that. I let the team and the fans down. Thank you, Chandler Jones, for exposing me. It will only force me to get better." It's actually an amazing tweet. You know you've absolutely dominated a game when the guy trying to stop you, a damn good player and a pro at that, yeah, coming off an injury, but a damn good player and a pro at that, immediately takes to Twitter to own that ass-kicking and thank you for kicking his ass and for exposing him because it's going to force him to get better. Because that was an ass-kicking.
Nice.
And you will never see a single guy playing that position dominate a game the way Chandler Jones just did. Unless Chandler Jones does it again. And he could, and he probably will. Now, as long as we're talking about teams from the west of the Mississippi going back east and getting a dub, how about the Chargers doing the Washington football team in their house 2016? Make no mistake, it's a big win for the Bolts because that is precisely the type of game this team has found ways to lose in recent years over and over and over again, but not this time. And they were hyped. And you know what the Chargers do when they get hyped? They take to Twitter. Yeah, forget playing highlights from that game. Let me instead play highlights from their Twitter feed when they hit Washington with some Elmo.
What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter? What's
the letter? The letter of the day.
Wow. I mean, there is Savage Smack. And then there is Sesame Street Smack. The most brutal smack of all. Good luck getting that earworm out of your head. Oh, and as if watching their team lose at home weren't painful enough for the Washington fans, there was that clip of some sort of liquid gushing all over the seats.
That's sewage.
You can't see that. It's not hard to find. I couldn't show it on CBS Sports Network, but you can hear the audio. And if you want to find the video, you should. I mean, it's just gushing. I mean, the hell is that? And by the way, where is that water coming from? Why is it pouring out of the roof over that section? And what the hell is happening? And that one guy, if you listen, that one guy had a theory. And he had a theory immediately. Notice what he didn't say. Well, that's just water. No, that guy went right to, quote, "That's sewage."
That's sewage.
And it's just dumping. That's sewage.
That's
Is he
sewage.
Talking about the liquid pouring from the roof all over the seats or most of the phone calls to this show? Hey-o. For the record, according to reports, it was not sewage. But you got to love that guy jumping right in with authority All right. He wasn't asking. He was stating. He was mandating. Oh, that's sewage.
That's sewage.
I mean, who exactly was that dude? Louis Slungpoo?
Louis Slungpoo. I hope I pronounced the last name correctly.
Yes, ma'am. It's Slungpoo.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's sewage.
Yeah, I know. Or Matt in L.A. Look, you never want to jump to any conclusions based on just one game. But one thing that everybody knew going into the season was the NFC West was going to be an absolute bloodbath. Not sewage, but an absolute bloodbath. Everybody knew that, and everybody was right, because the NFC West came out of week one 4-0. And the NFC North was going to be, well, let's not get into that just yet. Why don't we focus on the positive? And for the Rams, the positive was the arrival of Matthew Stafford. You know how absolutely nothing ever lives up to the hype? Matthew Stafford lived up to the hype. How about this for your second pass in Rams gear and doing it in prime time on national television?
Stafford takes the snap. He's back. He fakes the handoff, rolls to his left, flips his hips, looking, going deep. Got a man wide open. That's Jefferson. Makes the catch at the 20. Stumbles down around the 15. Gets to his feet. Runs left across the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Van Jefferson, the second-year man, made a tumbling catch. Nobody touched him. He got up and sprints into the end zone. A 66-yard touchdown pass. And the Rams are on the board first.
You know it. Roll out. Unleash that Kraken. An absolute bomb from a guy who said that he just wants to play in games that matter. And last night mattered. I mean, be honest. For some of you, that may have been the first time you have seen that guy play aside from Thanksgiving games. That might have been the first time you saw him and you weren't in a turkey coma for jamming all that bird down your gullet. You probably only have some kind of foggy, vague recollection of this dude slinging it, because every time you've seen it, you've been drunk on bird and whatever your choice of beverage is. But now you know why Sean McVay wanted this guy so badly and why he and Les Snead gave up as much as they did for him. Because it took Stafford about 30 seconds to show what he can do in that offense and what that offense can do with him. 20 of 26, 321 yards, 3 TDs, and, well, don't just take it from me. Listen to what Jalen Ramsey had to say.
He did amazing. I'm sure he's self-critical, and he's going to have some things that he'll probably want to get better at, and hopefully we can challenge him in practice to do that. But his command, his swag, like everything was great. That's like a debut that probably should go down in history, like just the way he played.
Let me tell you something else, too. Notice who said that, all right? That was Jalen Ramsey talking about swag. Jalen Ramsey talking about history being made. Now, tell you something else. I'm not saying that you owe the man an apology, but is it just me? Or did my man look sort of chiseled in his face? Did you notice that? And I bring that up because you've spent years talking about how fat his face is.
Fat?
Another terrible take. I'm just saying, man, he looked good. He looked good. And yes, Bears fans, I saw your team. And I wish I didn't have to, but I did. You know what the Bears are? The Bears are like the New York Giants. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
And nobody has any
TV
idea
more
why.
Than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Am I right? Am I right? You better be at home right now or in your car or streaming or wherever you are and saying to yourself, he's not wrong. Because I'm right. Why are they, man? The Bears and Giants seem like they're always on TV. More than even Leave It to Beaver reruns.
More than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
And last night's work from Andy Dalton is not exactly going to have people demanding more of the Bears in prime time.
Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time.
Yeah, sure, it's not. I would sum up the Bears last night with two words. That's sewage.
That's sewage.
That's sewage.
That's sewage.
I'll tell you what, man, that is a monster opening block. And I've got more. How about this? Then there are the 49ers and their quarterback situation. And things did not get off to a very good start for one James Garoppolo.
First down. Dwelly in motion. It's a fumbled snap.
Oh, we got a ball out.
And the ball scooped up by the Lions. A mishandled snap on the first play. And Detroit gets it right back.
Wow. Oh, no. Absolutely what you don't want.
Yeah, I would say absolutely what you don't want on your first snap. I don't know how I would characterize that. Let me think. If I had to characterize that play, I would say, that's sewage.
That's sewage.
I'm no quarterback guru, and I'm certainly no sewage guru, but that's sewage.
That's sewage.
I'm going to go ahead and say that if the team used a bunch of capital to draft a quarterback with the third pick in this year's draft, and that guy is pushing you for reps, the last thing you want to do is start the season the way Jimmy Garoppolo did. But that's what Jimmy G did. And then things got even worse for him when the Niners got the ball back and Trey Lance did this.
Trey Lance is back in. It's a play action. Lance will throw wide open. Caught by Trent Sherfield. Touchdown! San Francisco!
That was jerky, baby. Jerk route. And Trey Lance, tremendous job with the play action. He's looking down the middle. He knows he's got his guy.
All jerky is not the same. You know this, right? Oh, Trapper beef jerky. More on that in a minute. So at that point, you know, Niner fans were all saying, yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks, Jimmy. Trey will take it from here. You've been great and all. Thanks for everything. Hit the bleeping bricks and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Hit let the phenom bricks, take pal. Over. But the thing with Jimmy G is, while he probably will get hurt because he usually does go down and he probably will go down, but he's not going down without a fight. In fact, dude bowed up. He bowed up, and if he's going to ultimately lose that gig to Lance, he's going to make Lance rip it from him and make it hard for the coaches to give it to him because G, in the end, put up numbers. 17-25, 314 yards and a TD, and he and Deebo Samuel were unstoppable. So you can hold off giving Trey Lance that starting job for just another few days. All right, as I mentioned, the opening block is a monster. I could not get to all of it. There were some things that were really, really good, and there were some things that were, well, sewage.
That's sewage.
Packers were sewage.
That's sewage.
Jameis Winston and the Saints were awesome. They were the opposite of sewage. Herb was sewage.
That's sewage.
Got the recap of the college football weekend. I've got lots and lots of things to get to. I do want to talk about the Chiefs and the Browns. Great game. Giants coming up on the short end against Denver. All of this still ahead. Aqib Talib coming up at 40 past. Cam Sutton, top of hour number two. Arkansas head football coach Sam Pittman coming up in hour number two. Where are you right now? Where are you right now? 1-800-636-8686. I said that I would get to Old Trapper. Got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the finest ingredients, from their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouthwatering flavors: old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious, teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11, hot and spicy, with a spice so nice you're going to want to snack twice, and peppered, tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper. It's a cold beer's best friend. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load up with an 18-ounce bag where there's enough for the whole team. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Man, how awesome is it that football's back? So good to see the teams back out. Lucky for us, that's just week one. DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL and is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using my code ROME. Get in on the action now. It's simple. You pick your lineup. You stay under the salary cap. You see how your team stacks up against the competition. You can feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions in total prizes. Once again, enter code ROME to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That is code ROME, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, then, some quick reaction. Off the top, Mark in Hollywood. Quote, I bet Rick closes his eyes and makes a wish before blowing out his birthday candles. Probably. Probably. Finally. It's the opposite of lit. Oh, man. Like, I stopped repping team gear when I was 12. And you're like 70 and you're still doing it. I mean, I know you need a reason to roll out of the rack in the morning when you get to be that age. But, dude, come on. Fanboy, fan geriatric, fan
you
grandpa.
You little fanboy bitch.
You're a fanboy grandpa bitch.
You little fanboy
bitch. This guy's great. And again, like I said, none of us knew. Alvin didn't know. I didn't know. Chalk, had you seen this? Y'all got to let me know, man. I should see how important this guy is. I'm trying to think if any other XR4 TI-er has ever rolled in here with a gamer on camera or off camera in studio. Has any XR4 TI or ever sported a gamer in studio? Alvin, help me. I'm trying to think. An actual jersey? I don't think. Anyway, at Wooden Laconic, Steph Curry enthusiastically banging the Panthers drum before kickoff, thinks that Ritt is overdoing a bit this morning. Man, Ritt loves being on TV. Don't you, Pops? Incredible. Wells, quote, let Ritt celebrate. His Panthers got us paid. War bald head bets. It also was pointed out to me, and I don't know because I don't follow Ritt. That should tell you all you need to know. Some of you clones get all bent and all up in arms like, hey, how come you don't follow us? I don't even follow my own team members, the XR4 TIs. So don't get all bent about that. I pay guys and I don't follow them. Ritt was, dude, were you running your mouth about how bad Big Head was and taking the Rams and laying the points? I think you were, dude. I think you were. Apology accepted. At Wrong Rush 1, I didn't think those Washington fans with feces on their head looked so bad. Signed Drew Brees.
That's
all right,
sewage.
Number one, it was not sewage. This guy rushed to judgment. This guy diagnosed the problem incorrectly and did so with authority. It was not sewage. Albie? It was not sewage.
That's sewage.
It was not sewage.
That's sewage.
As far as Drew Brees, listen, unlike you, I'm not talking about, quote, him having feces on his head or anything else other than hair. I'm actually more fascinated by the concept. Generally, when your hair stops growing, it's hard to get it to begin growing yet again. I think my man looks good. I'm curious how he did that. How any of them do that. It's not easy. And yet you want to point out that somebody's got feces on their head. Do better. DJ Mix 10 tweets, why? Why? Signed Tennessee Titans fan.
Why?
Because the other guy was better? Jamie in Green Bay. Of course, Matthew Stafford's face looks chiseled. He moved to L.A., and he got plastic surgery, like the rest of the city.
First time in the history that's happened.
I don't know. Chuck, you moved to Southern California. Did you get plastic surgery? Not yet, you didn't. I'm trying to get this guy to gamble. How am I going to get him to get carved? Again, what's the issue with that? If you can do something that makes you feel better about you, why would you not do that? Look good, feel good. Feel good, play good. Play good, feel good. Feel good, act good. Look good, learn grammar. Why would you not do something that would make you feel better if you could? If you had access to something that was legal, ethical, moral, feasible, practical, and you had the resources, why would you not do that? I'm not even saying that's what he did. My man looks to me like he leaned out. And good for him. Stakes have never been higher. He knows what's at stake. It's incredible to me that you clones can take any positive and turn it on its head and turn it into a negative. It tells me more about you than it does the person that you're always trying to go in on. Geoff is taking his shot. Matt Stafford chiseled his face. What a waste of money. It's cheaper to just smoke heaters and take Shantex. Regards, Ray Liotta. Hey! Think about you, Geoff. You are a high-volume shooter. Dude, I'll give you that. You never make any shots. Like, normally I would say, like any great shooter, you just got to keep jacking it up. Because you know. You know that it's ultimately going to fall. But you're not a great shooter. You're a high-volume shooter. You never make your shots, dude. And yeah, you're just out there. As soon as you cross the timeline, you're just jacking it up. Just jacking it up. To which I say, Why?
That's Sewage.
Todd near Lexington. Hey, Rome, let's be honest. We're all just listening to see if Paul's dog calls in with a take on that Hard Rock Stadium cat. Man, that was some scene, wasn't it? That was some scene. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm a cat guy. I'll never understand how these cats get loose in stadiums like that. That poor cat, dude. Hanging from the upper deck by a claw. And then they save that cat with an American flag, no less. That was really something to see. I'll get there. However, I got even more important things to do. Yes, even more important things to do than talk about that viral cat. Aqib Talib is going to make an appearance on this program. And it's going to happen in less than 10 minutes. And it's going to be good. That's coming up. One thing I did do, I moved Steelers cornerback Cam Sutton until the top of hour number three. So the way it sets up, Aqib Talib next, Sam Pittman 1 hour from now, and then Cam Sutton at the top of hour number three. Monday is also an ATP day, so get your questions ready for me. Right now it's time for our first update of the week. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you all know, Monday is always an ATP day. Ask the pros. You get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question there. Again, don't do it on Twitter. Don't do it on the phones. Do it at that address. Then listen later on. I might answer one of yours, and you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I am efforting Aqib Talib. I'll find him momentarily. In the meantime, let me remind you to call the program 1-800-636-8686. College football, fully in swing. Week number one of the NFL season in the books. Man, there was some wild action, too, over the weekends. So I want to get into all of that, and I will do so with Aqib Talib. Romy, what is pathetic and perennially disappointing? No, it is not Old Man Ritt. It is the New York Giants, Nick in New York. It's kind of hard to argue with that, right? And I do want to get into the Giants, and I want to get into that Browns-Chiefs matchup as well. And I will. Hey, Rome. A Monday haiku. My players hate my guts. The USC job appears to be open. Let's fake a heart attack. Signed, Herb. You know, the haiku has a very specific and rigid format. You can't just write three lines and call it a haiku. I mean, that's funny. It's probably all true, but it does not make it a haiku. Just say a Monday poem. I know back in the day we used to read haiku, and you would submit haiku. Just call that a Monday poem. I'll read it. My players hate my guts. The USC job appears to be open. Let's fake a heart attack. Signed, Herb. That'd be a good poem. It doesn't even have to rhyme for it to be poetry. Signed, Herb. Brian in Charlotte writes, wore Ritt wearing a Sir Purr mascot headgear next week, like Lee Corso. Well, the old man is like the show mascot. All right, so as I'm efforting Aqib Talib, let me share some more thoughts coming off weekend number one. So you've got quarterback battles around the NFL. Jameis Winston never really was in a quarterback battle in New Orleans. And yesterday, if you had any doubt as to why Sean Payton made him the guy, he erased that doubt in a hurry, didn't he? 14 of 20. Now, these numbers are really wacky because he was 14 of 20 for 148 yards. Now, if you see those numbers, you think to yourself, eh, nice, but not much. Didn't really throw the ball downfield. Didn't really do that much at all. Wrong. He actually did quite a bit. He did a ton. Because the only number that matters in that stat line is this one. Five touchdowns. Five touchdowns in an absolute beatdown of the Packers. I mean, it was efficient and ruthless as hell. He looked as good as the Packers looked bad. And the Packers looked terrible. I mean, for a moment, Jameis had this stat line. 93 yards passing, four TDs. It's comical. 93 yards passing and four touchdowns. I have never seen anything like that. And then he added to that this.
On second down, air it out, Deontay Harris. He's got it. Touchdown. Another for Winston.
I'm not sure how you explain that. How do you explain the Saints in their very first game without Drew Brees, playing in Jacksonville, and beating the living crap out of the Packers, a team that is Super Bowl or bust? Winning the game is one thing. The Saints are good. We know this. But they're playing their first game without Drew Brees, and they beat the living crap out of a team that is Super Bowl or bust. How do you explain that? Jameis took a shot. Jameis said it came down to one bit of advice that he got right before the game.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
That can't be real, right? It's got to be some sort of deep fake of some kind, right? I mean, who starts a sentence about the importance of being prepared without being prepared for the sentence itself?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
My man, it's so good. Again, ask the question. Who starts a sentence about the importance of being prepared without being prepared to talk about that sentence? I love how he pulled the ripcord right there, too. That was some hack-off level stuff right there. That was some Dennis in Oklahoma stuff right there.
Dennis in Oklahoma City.
Hey, what's up, Jim? I harken back to the days of the Mighty 690. I was calling in regards to Kent and his lame flashcard reading call that he made to the show. As a former, I'm blowing up, Jim. I'm sorry, dude. Reaction, I'm out.
That was artfully done.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
The harder he tried, the worse he made it, but he still had the composure and poise and wherewithal to say, reaction, I'm out. All you have to do if you get on the air and all of a sudden you're way out in front of your skis and it's not what you thought it was going to be, deep breath, find the eject button and smash it. Just say, reaction, I'm out.
As a former, I'm blowing up, Jim. I'm sorry, dude. Reaction, I'm out.
Perfect. Absolutely stunning execution. If you can say, even add a reaction, reaction, I'm out. All right, my reaction is that was one of the worst calls ever. However, it was one of the best recoveries ever. Like, my man is taking that jet right into the side of a mountain. And right before it happens, he still has the mindset, like the wherewithal, to find that ripcord and just jerk that thing. And right before that jet went into the side of the mountain, my man lands safely over there. Extremely well done.
As a former, I'm blowing up, Jim. I'm sorry, dude. Reaction, I'm out.
He even apologized to me.
No.
You know, the more I hear that, the more I think that's not one of the worst calls ever, but one of the best calls ever. Got the apology in, pulled the ripcord, landed safely to the side. Listen, Jameis does not give great pregame speeches, and the guy does give some pretty weird postgame interviews, but if this guy keeps showing up like that, and he keeps preparing like that, very clearly, that year in that system with Sean Payton and playing behind Drew Brees and being in that quarterback room did prepare him well, even if he can't explain how it prepared him well. Because my man looked good throwing five TDs in a game like that against Green Bay. Keep doing that, it's going to work out just fine. Just fine. And to his credit, he did so without Mike Thomas. He did so without Emmanuel Sanders. He did so with a bunch of young guys you've probably never even heard of. So what I'm trying to say is my man feasted on a big-ass W in week one. And I could not have been more impressed with how he handled himself. Just not how he handled that question. But who cares? What does that matter? That's not even all there is to week one. I've got so much more to get to in week one. So much more. It was an insane week that I'm going to need multiple takes to spread across the board and across the program to cover.
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
I'm not here to clown this guy. I mean, we've done plenty of that over the years. Jameis looked great. He looked great. So to me, the decision to go to New Orleans and reinvent himself and learn to do certain things, learn to play a certain way, that he knew that that was a great situation for him. I've got nothing but positive things to say about Jameis. He looked awesome. And that was a great decision. And just deciding to go there is one thing, but taking advantage of the opportunity and learning what he learned is another. Just extremely well played by him. Yes, it's only one game, but it was a great game. Squirrel 2, quote, here's an actual Urban Meyer haiku. Texans beat the Jags. Ready for USC job. Papa John's Pizza.
40 pizzas.
Dad, let me see. 575, that looks right. It's got to be in that format of 575. You can't just come up with three sentences of any length and call it a haiku. 575. Man, that could not have gone any worse for Herb than it did. What a disaster. The day started badly when my guy JLC dropped a report about how Herb's own assistant coaches are pushing back and don't respect him because he's becoming, quote, unhinged over losses in the preseason, that his players think that the guy is just wound way too tight. He just doesn't get the pro game. And then they go out and they lose to a Texans team that's not even really trying that hard to win, right? Not only lose to a Texans team that's not trying that hard to win, but a Texans team that's crappy, that has got so much dysfunction. And they not only didn't beat them, but the Texans laid a beatdown on them. And, you know, this is a big Tyrod Taylor house. I feel like I'm one of the only guys who continues to defend him. I've, like, defended him at every turn. I like Tyrod. I've always liked him. I think he makes plays. I like the way he carries himself. I like the way he prepares. I think the guy's a pro. I'm not going to say that he's the next coming Jim Kelly, but they sure made him look like it. In fact, the Jags made him look like the next coming of Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, and Joe Montana all rolled into one.
Dan Marino.
Bad, bad week for Herb and the Jags. Has anybody seen my guy, Aqib Talib? If you do, let him know. Let him know that I'm looking for him. Actually, we did find him. He's going to be next segment. Quickly, what do you say we go to the phones? Let's go to the REX in the ABQ. Hello, Rex.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm quite well, Rex. How are you?
I'm doing good. I resent people questioning the veracity of my Rexiness. Clones, I'm dealing with benign nasal polyps. Jimmy, after school, I'll drop the kids off at the pool for swim practice and then go catch a matinee with the missus. We both enjoy popcorn and red vines. I avoid raisinettes. They remind me of my late bunny rabbit. He enjoyed hopping and eating carrots. Rest in peace, Backsplash. Oh, and Jimmy, the missus is looking forward to the newest Sex and the City movie. I hear there's a cameo by our vice president, Kamala Jessica Parker. Rack me, Jimmy.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Fake Rex? Definitely a fake Rex? Let's go to hour number two. Aqib Talib will be joining me to start that hour. Sam Pittman also next hour. You're in the jungle. That guy was fake. I'm Jim Rome. Stay tuned.